Hi, this is Millie, and welcome to the Escaping Narcissistic Mothers podcast, where you'll find the validation and love you've been looking for. I can help you navigate the difficult waters of going no contact. Please follow me on Instagram at Escaping Narcissistic Mothers, all one word.
Hi, everybody. I hope you're having a good day and a good week. And we're way into July. How fast is this month going? For me, July is significant because my daughter's birthday is the 29th and she turns 21 years old. Our children tend to make us remember how old we are, right? Every time they have a birthday, it's like, oh my God. So, you know, I'm 21 years older than I was when I had her. That's a lot. But the math works out. I am actually 21 years older. All right. So I hope you guys are doing well. I hope that you are improving, that my podcasts are validating, but also that you are learning things from my podcast and how to deal with toxic family members, with toxic people. And there's my kitty cat. An example of a toxic situation where it may not be someone related to you, right? What if you're at work and there's someone who constantly is making a mountain out of a molehill? And you have to deal with this person, right? That's a difficult situation. And it depends on how closely you have to work with them. If you don't have to work with them closely, the best thing to do is really to say yes and move on with your life. Don't even engage, right? Because that's really what they want. You know, they want to get a rise out of you. But if it is someone that you have to work closely with, you have to rethink your job, you know, especially if it's a supervisor. And speaking of jobs, I am still working. I am almost superstitious to say this, but I like my job. I like my boss. I don't have anything negative to say. Do I still have anxiety? Absolutely. I still get because I'm working part-time, so Monday night is my Sunday night because I don't work on Mondays. And on Mondays, my anxiety is bad. There's no way around it. It is. But I'm working on it in EMDR. I am working on it. So we'll see what happens, right? I don't really see anything going terribly wrong. And I have it in my head that even if there is a challenging situation, that I'm not going to run from it. I'm going to deal with it. I don't want to run like I used to. That was my biggest problem, was running from any challenging situation. Because, well, when you're raised in a challenging situation, you kind of don't want to have to deal with it in other areas of your life, or you're not equipped, or you think you're not equipped. But I know that I am. I know so much about conflict and toxicity in people and how to deal with things that I refuse to let someone run me away. So that's where my thinking is. And I hope that you can recognize the places in your life where maybe your childhood, being raised by a toxic mother, has affected you now. I mean, it affects you, period. And that you're recognizing those situations and you are rectifying those situations so that you can have a happy, normal life, you know? We can have a normal life without mom, dad, cousin, brother, sister in our lives. 100%. I am proof of that. You can have a happy, normal life. I'll tell you one thing that I've learned. Please, if you are working somewhere and you haven't told anybody, you know, your conflict with your mother or your family, That is none of their business. Please don't go out and share everything about your life. Oversharing is something that we were conditioned to do, and oversharing at work is a mistake. You do not need people knowing your personal problems. As a matter of fact, you guys know that I don't talk to my dad. It was actually his choice, but I took control and said, well, now it's me. So if he were to come to me now, it's too late. He did the damage. But people at work think that I do see my father, that I have a relationship with him. I don't really talk about him often, but I mention things. We were talking about Christmas and how, you know, I don't really have a lot of Christmas gifts to buy. But I did put him in the list when I said who I bought gifts for. People don't need to know. Okay? You might make a really good friend, but you have to be weary even of those people. Okay? You really have to trust somebody. You have to have a relationship outside of work where you guys are like buddies and go out and hang out together and talk like that in order to divulge something so personal. Keep it out of the workplace because it is none of their business. And you, it's for your own mental health. Believe me, if they don't know about it, you don't have to worry about it, right? You're a different person at work. I'm not different at work. I'm just, my situation seems different at work. That's all it is. I'm still me. I would still be me, but I don't want people thinking of me in a certain way, especially the organization I work for. So that's it. I'm going to go on now to the topic of today's podcast, which is, was it overprotection or was it control? And I think that you guys obviously know the answer to that, right? It's 100% control. I know a lot of you, if you were like me, would say my parents overprotected me. Except it wasn't overprotection. It was control. I was just talking to my husband, and I was remembering something from when I was 14 or 15 years old, where my group of friends, I had a group of friends that it was four girls and four boys. It's funny because you would think, oh, four boys. Yeah, one was my cousin. One was my cousin, and my cousin's 2 years younger than me. The other one was my cousin's like close friend from school who was, you know, there wasn't really anybody in the one boy I just didn't like. You know, there was it. We were friends. Okay, let's put it that way. Was there conflict? Of course there was, but that's part of the fun of being that age, right? Having that conflict with your friends, with the girls and the boys and all of that. But honestly, I didn't have any interest in any of those boys. That's not what that group was about for me anyway. So, my mother bought a trailer for the summer to go up to the Catskills in upstate New York during the weekends of the summer. And then my dad would take a 3-week vacation, which we would spend completely up there. I hated going up there. I cannot stress that enough. I hated it. And who is responsible? The reason that I dislike, and I'm being nice, my aunt's son, my cousin, who is 20 years older than me, you've heard me talk about him before. The reason I dislike him so much is because he started a lot of the stuff that I ended up hating in my life. And this is one of the things. He went camping one weekend in a tent. He bought a little trailer. I'm sure a lot of you have seen those little tiny, we used to call it the egg because it was so small. And then my parent and my mother, being who she is, decides a year later that she's going to buy a trailer. So this started when I was about 12. And when I was about to turn 14, so we would go camping on and off in a tent or stay at my aunt, my uncle's trailer, or whatever, for a year. And then my mother purchased a trailer when I was, because I turned, my birthday's in October, so probably in August, right, at the end of the season, they purchased a trailer. And they got the largest one, right, 30, whatever the size limit is, I think 36 or 38 feet. It wasn't a drive, you know, you couldn't drive it. You had, it was pulled. And I know I'm going into a lot of detail here, but it had to stay in one place. Okay, so they rented a lot in that park, and this became my prison because my friends weren't there. Okay? And when I asked my mom, like, later on, like, what made you buy the trailer? Well, I didn't want you hanging out with your friends in the street. And as it turns out, it took me years and years. I was in my 40s when my therapist said, were you doing anything wrong? I'm like, no, we hung out. We played ball. Yes, we played ball and rode our bikes. And we would walk to the pizzeria and we would go to the movie theater, which was a block away. Like, we weren't doing anything wrong. And my mother didn't want me to be a part of that. Now, what I remembered today was that all of my friends went to Great Adventure. If you don't know what Great Adventure is, it's like Busch Gardens. It's an amusement park, right? Rise and, you know, I had never been to Busch Gardens. Okay. Busch Gardens was in New Jersey. And I remember I wasn't allowed to go. No, I couldn't go because my parents were going upstate that weekend and I had to go and it was the same weekend. And the heartbreaking part was that we got home Sunday at the same time that they were getting home. Like, our, you know, we drove up and their car drove up and all my friends got out of the car. And I think there were two cars, of course, because there was eight of them. And I was coming back from upstate and I had missed out and they were, you know, telling me all the fun that they had all had. And I missed out. Right. And that's not the first or last time that I missed out on doing something fun. Because I was being protected in quotations. Okay? That was the excuse that I was being protected. Except the protection from what? What were you protecting me from? It wasn't protection. It was control. You know? There was no rhyme or reason to why I couldn't go to Great Adventure. It's not like we're going alone. My cousin's friend's parents were the ones that were taking everybody. And my mother was friends with them. They lived in our building, right? There was no reason except that she did not want me to go. How many situations can you think of where you weren't allowed to go to something that was fun because they decided for some reason that you shouldn't go? I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about something. That was too much, right? That they were protecting me from the gods of the roller coasters, I guess, or the devil of the roller coasters. But I was allowed to go to school dances when I was 14 at night with a friend, taking a subway or a bus at night into the Bronx. Twice I went down all the way downtown, which was really far from us. So I was being protected from going during the day with all of my friends and the parents to an amusement park, but I was allowed to go to dances. I don't understand that. And that is part of a narcissistic parent's traits, is that they move their expectations and their goals for you however they want. And it doesn't make sense, right? Because why would I be allowed to go to a dance when I was 14 at night on public transportation and not allowed to go to something that is 100 times safer? Because my mother wasn't interested in my safety. See, going to a dance didn't disturb her in any way. Right? That's the only thing I can think of. Because this is the thing. I will never really understand what was going through her mind when she made a decision for me. I will never know. Right? And I say made a decision for me because she allowed me to go to dances but didn't allow me to do something that was way safer. Where's the logic there? I don't know. I can't. I wish I did. There are some things that I've kind of figured out. Oh, I see why she did that. But this one, head scratcher. Don't know. Dances were safe. But going to Busch Gardens was not. And again, the excuse was protecting me. But yet, she wasn't protecting me from something that was potentially more dangerous. By a long shot, way more dangerous. My mother never really cared to protect me. It was more scaring me. So I went to an all-girl Catholic high school, which was walking distance from where I lived. When I was in ninth grade, I believe, my dad took me in the mornings most of the time. I think, I'm telling you, I don't really remember. But I wasn't going alone. And then I think by 10th grade, I was allowed to take the bus. Because I could walk when the weather was nice. But when it was cold, it was two hills. And I know I sound like the joke. But I had to go downhill and then uphill. I lived in Washington Heights. It was mountainous, hilly, you know. And it was cold in the winter to walk up and down those hills. You would cross the streets and the wind would blow and... Oh, God, it was cold, I remember. So I forgot where I was going with this. So they didn't let me go by myself, but then, oh, I remember. Okay, so there were different ways to get there. And one way was walking up a hill, one hill. And it was closer, but it was harder to do, right? Because it was uphill, uphill, uphill until I got there. But it was closer than the other way, which was going into a subway station, walking through this tunnel, which wasn't one of those long, long tunnels. Because there, where I lived, there were several stations that had long tunnels that were scary. This one wasn't that long. And then taking an elevator that took you up, and then I would walk to school that way. That was the easier physically way to get there. Well, my mother had told me that I could not take the first way, the shorter way, but the harder way to do physically because you had to go uphill all the way to where my school was. I couldn't take that way because one side of that street, so across the street from where I was walking, it's hard to explain, but there were buildings that were on top of that hill. So I was walking where on the backside, which was girders and things holding up those buildings, always scared me thinking that building is going to come crashing down, but they've never come crashing down. They did a good job, you know, with the engineers did a good job and the architects, because it, like someone could be hiding there and could come out and get me and rape me. So my mother had me thinking that I was going to get raped going to school. Okay, she had me terrified. Now, did I ever not listen to her and walk up the hill? Of course I did. Especially if it was raining. I remember one time I got caught in the rain. It was warm. So it must have been either the beginning of the school year or the end. And I was running. You know, I mean, I didn't want to get wet. But, I mean, I got drenched. I did. I took that way. You know, and I took it other times, too. I was not afraid that someone was going to jump out to rape me from across the street. So, again, I don't know where that thinking comes from. She was afraid that I was going to get raped, but didn't care that I was walking through a tunnel, taking an elevator, and going up, and that someone could rape me that way, because that would be impossible. Again, I don't know where the thinking is. I don't know why she didn't want me going up that hill. She must have had a reason that I don't know of. That's what, how I'm going to put that one. There was a reason she didn't want me to go up that hill. There just was. And that's how she manipulated it. Or it was the sheer control of it. Or I can control how she goes to school. So a lot of things that we were told were for our protection. Was it for our protection? Or was it for their benefit in one way or another? Now, my biggest story, which some of you know, some of you don't know, go back and listen to The Day My Life Changed. I have several versions of this, but I will tell you quickly. 6 years ago, I got a phone call. I should start by saying, I'm an only child, okay? And was told that my parents got married and it took my mother 9 years to get pregnant. She thought she couldn't get pregnant. And fast forward to 6 years ago, I get a phone call from Puerto Rico. And I didn't answer it, but I got a text and I started crying because I had a suspicion that this might be the case. And I'm not crazy. I must have picked up on clues being an empath my whole life and just put it together somehow. And I think subconsciously, I may have heard something when I was small. And because people talk in front of their kids when they're three and think they're not listening, they don't understand. Yeah, they do. And yeah, even if they don't remember 100%, there could be something that's left over. Anyhow, it was this man claiming to be my brother. And he told me that there were three of them. So I had three older brothers. To jump a little bit ahead, my dad was married twice before my mother. So my parents were married for months before my mother got pregnant, not 9 years. My mother met my dad here, not in Cuba, like she had said. Everything was a lie. And the question when I found all this out, because my life changed that day. It did. I didn't feel like I was the only child. And I felt like everything was just different. I don't feel that way anymore. I will make that clear. I do not feel that way. Why I don't feel that way? Because I know that I'm still me. I hardly ever remember I have siblings. I don't talk to my father. My mother died. It doesn't matter, right? Out of the three, I have contact with one from time to time, the one that called me. He seems to be a nice guy, okay? My dad hurt a lot of people by his actions because he abandoned these three kids when they were children. And the oldest one is a complete mess. His mind is just, I met him and his mind is not in a good place. The youngest one of the three lives in Florida too. And I met him and he also has had a lot of issues. The only one that seems to be chill and like, whatever, he was able to deal with my father's disappearance, was the one that called me from Puerto Rico. And he's the one that I have the closest relationship with. And I hardly ever talk to him. So there you go. My life didn't actually change. It just, that was the point where I had to start investigating or thinking about, is my mother really toxic? Like I've read online. And of course, I had to admit to myself that she was. Because I know it's my father who did all that. And yeah, he's 100% responsible. But why hide it from me? And that was my question. And the answer was to protect you. And that was it. There was no explanation as to the protection. It was just, it was to protect you. And not even then, I accepted that. And yet, as time passed a little bit, I calmed down because that was a shock. To the point where I believe I had a dormant autoimmune disorder that flared up. Yeah, I have Graves' disease. It was a shock, you know, knowing that what I knew was not true. But in all reality, everything that I found out happened before I was born. So honestly, it has nothing to do with me, except for the fact that I had three brothers out there, and I should have known that. And that my mother's family knew about it. My father's family did too, but they were in Cuba, and I couldn't talk to them. I wasn't allowed. But I know why, right? This is not one of the mysteries of how my mother decided that. I wasn't allowed because they knew. And as a matter of fact, I did call my uncle on my dad's side a couple of years ago. And the first question out of his mouth was, how are your brothers? So yeah, they had a good reason for me not to want to have contact with them. So I don't understand how not telling me about my brothers was protecting me in any way. It was protecting them. Because what my father did was messed up. If there's no other way to put that. He had three kids. He abandoned the oldest one at 5. The one that called me when he was 7. And the youngest one never met my dad per se because he was a baby. Okay? So that is why I didn't know, was because they were protecting themselves, not me. So if you ever heard that I'm doing this to protect you, it 100% is not the case. They did what they did to protect themselves. And that is 100% the truth. They did what they did to protect themselves. So a lot of us feel that we were overprotected, sheltered. That's a word that comes across with my friend. I have a friend from high school that I talk to all the time, and she calls it being sheltered. I have never really told her, you had a toxic upbringing as well as I did. Because I see very similar things to the things that happened to me. Right? And she uses the word sheltered. But it's not being sheltered. It's being controlled. I was in an all-girl Catholic school because, number one, it looked good for my mother, right? They were paying for a Catholic school. I was a princess, as my cousin, or my cousin's daughter, I should say, called me when everything happened. And I'm like, they lied to me my entire life about this. She called me a princess. I'd like to know how that makes me a princess. She called me a princess because she didn't believe me. So, of course, I haven't talked to her. Probably she was one of the first cut off completely. I'm not a princess because I was forced into a school that I had no say. I loved the school. I ended up loving being there, right? And I appreciate having that education and having the close-knit friendships that I forged at that school. But I had no say in that. I was forced into that situation, right? So the only princess that I'm like is Cinderella. You got it, right? I'm sure it crossed your mind, right? I'm Cinderella. And it was all under the guise of protecting me. But really, it was my mother knew I couldn't do anything wrong in a Catholic school, an all-girl Catholic school, because it was small. And if you missed a class, they call home right away. I couldn't do anything wrong, and I didn't. I wasn't that type anyway. I wasn't the type because she had me so well groomed that I didn't do anything wrong. But I still felt that everything I did was wrong and bad. And that's what I'm working on in EMDR. That every action that I take is not wrong. Even if I was told that I did things I didn't do. I was blamed for things I didn't do. But were we being overprotected? No, we weren't. We were being controlled. Protection is not, it is their job unto a certain point. And giving advice on, look, this is probably not the safest thing that you could do. But not forcing you to do things and then calling it protection. Right? But that's a narcissistic thing. That's what narcissists do. They do something bad in their best interest and then call it something good. So you don't have a way to defend yourself or say, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go to the Catholic school, the all-girl Catholic school. And I did many times express that to my mother, that I did not want to be there. And was told, like, because I went there from 7th grade to 12th grade. Because it's at the time they had a, my school's closed, it doesn't matter, but it went from 7th through 12th grade, and the 7th and 8th grade classes were 13 girls. There were 13 girls in my class, right? So when I was going into 9th grade, I wanted to switch to a mixed Catholic school that was in the Bronx, but no way, because I had to take a train. And the real reason was there were going to be boys there, and there was no way she was going to let me go. No way. You know? I ended up meeting several people in college that went to that school, and, you know, really, honestly, I wish I could have gone there. But I couldn't, you know? I couldn't. So that's it. I mean, that's the end of my stories. I want you to tell me, when I post this on Instagram, because, you know, I always do my post. So under that post, the yellow post with the red writing, saying that, hey, listen to my podcast, I want you to tell me a story of overprotection, which was not overprotection at all. It was control. I'm curious to see how, and I know that you did. I know some of you have mothers that were not overprotective, but they were neglectful. And I'm sorry for that. My mother was a mix. Like I said, I mean, kind of the letting me go to dances, that was a little neglectful, right? Irresponsible, letting me go by myself. And she used to lie, too. It was funny because she used to tell people my dad used to drive me to these dances. He didn't drive me once to these dances. Not once. He worked at night. He wasn't there. She used to lie in front of me and I had to stay quiet because I had to stay quiet, right? Because if I didn't, then who knows what kind of wrath would come upon me. But I want to hear your stories. I'm very interested. And if you don't feel comfortable, I always put my email address, nmoms99@gmail.com, E-N-M-O-M-S. Okay, it's like Escaping Narcissistic Moms, E-N-M-O-M-S, 99@gmail.com. Email me with the story. I want to hear it. I want to hear the instances where you weren't allowed to do something fun, and it was called overprotection, or anything that was called, I'm protecting you, and you realize it wasn't you they were protecting. It was protecting themselves or controlling you. Well, guys, I'm going to end it there. I think this was a good podcast. I don't think I've done one that is specific to the topic of protection. And I may, because I have hundreds of podcasts out there. But I haven't, you know, recently done one. And talking to my husband this morning and remembering not being able to go to the amusement park, and it being, it wasn't called overprotection, but the trailer situation was we're protecting you. No, you're not. You're stopping me from having fun because you don't want me to have fun. Tell me your stories. Tell me what you think fits in here as, you know, them saying they're protecting you. And I hope that you're not one that was neglected, because that's just another level of, you know, narcissism and being neglected, like going to school with dirty clothes. I know that that's another situation and it's sad. And I had part of that too. And I can go and I can do a whole podcast on that as well. But tell me your story. I want to hear it. That's why I do this. I do this so that you feel validated and so that you can also express yourself. I will never, ever, ever use a story of yours on my podcast without your permission or say any names. I don't say names of my own family, right? I can't get in trouble for my podcast because I've never put anyone out there that, you know, the only name is mine and it's just my first name, right? So I'm going to end it there. I love you guys. This is why I do this. I hope that you are on a healing journey. You are. If you're listening to me, you are. Because the healing journey is very difficult. And the first part of healing is learning about narcissism and hearing other people's stories and even telling your own. That's the first part of it. So if you're there, I'm here. I know. I lived it. I'm 48. And I have people that are in their 60s and 70s that are coming, you know, it's coming to light how they were abused. And there are people that I listen, that talk to me, that are not involved in this, that are, it's not because of the podcast or Instagram. And I listen to them and I go, boy, you're a toxic parent or your parents were toxic. But I can't say anything. I can only help those that want to be helped. And that's you. And that's why I do this. I love you so much. Share my podcast to someone who may need it. Right? Share it. Share it for them. And it's not because of me. Look, I am not sponsored. I know you probably heard a podcast with an ad for another podcast. But I make like cents on that. I made 70 cents yesterday on one ad. I'm not making any money off of it. I do this because I want to help you guys. Okay, I love you so much. I hope you have a wonderful day. And until next time.